Last Sunday, Pastor Steve kicked off a great new series in our church called Putting God First. Boom! I'm going to hit you up with a part two. Is that all right? Oh, my gosh. Hello. Wow, we're twins and so hard. Are you wearing off-white pants? Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me right now? Stand up, please. Stand up. Wow. Are you wearing green Sambas? Oh. You did? You have a pair? Oh, all right. What's your name again? I know you. Abby, you're on team. Yeah, I remember you going through Journey. You're around. You might run on Saturdays, who knows? I have a really practical message, okay? So I just want to go ahead and let everybody know right now, this is not like a barn burner, all right? This is not like a, oh, snap, kind of a message, okay? This is not like a preach it, pastor, kind of message. I like doing those messages, amen? Today is about practical, okay? Putting God first. All right, so if you would, I'd love your help. I'd love some backup. I'd love some encouragement every now and then to just be like, okay, amen, that's good. I am preaching to this section right. I don't know what y'all are doing over here, but yeah. I love the message that Pastor Steve opened up with talking about who God is. God is first. And God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. Come on, he knows everything about you. Turn to him and say, he knows everything about you. Go ahead. No, seriously. He knows everything. And what's great about God is he knows everything about you, and yet he still loves you, and yet he still chose you, and he still died for you. Come on, that's worth giving God some praise. That's worth giving God praise. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at once. He's omnipotent, which means he has unlimited power. We read last week, Revelation 22:13, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the first, he's the last, the beginning, the end. Hebrews 12 says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Amen. That's our God. And so Jesus, he demands to be first. Our God demands to be first. He isn't just first. He actually desires and calls us to put him first. And this is the very thing that the Pharisees in Jesus' time tried to trip Jesus up with, okay? In Matthew 22, verse 36, they said this, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" They're trying to trip up Jesus. And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart." Someone say all your heart. All your soul. And all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. This is Jesus quoting out of the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6, which, by the way, Jesus quotes the Old Testament often. And the book in the Old Testament that Jesus quotes the most is actually Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 sounds very similar. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children." How many people got some children? Who got some kids in the house? Make some noise. Yeah, that was a very weary parental amen. They're a blessing as unto the Lord. There's a season where you just are very tired all the time. We're a month away from having our fourth, by the way, just putting that out there. Four girls, get at me. What am I talking about right now? Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, maybe when you run on Saturdays, when you lie down, and when you get up. The idea of putting God first, it transcends time and testament. And I don't know about what your image of God is, and when you hear about this word, I wonder if maybe you're thinking it's a little cliche. If you grow up in church, if you heard about church and Christians, maybe you're like, okay, you think about this God, and maybe you have this wrong idea, or you have this like weird idea that God is somehow this like love-struck boyfriend who's always just trying to hang out with you and get more of your time. He's always like, when are we going to hang out? How come you never want to hang out anymore, right? Like, and then we in turn are like, I don't know, a lot of us, and we think that, you know, we end up out of that, we end up acting like this flaky girlfriend, like, oh my gosh, he's so into me. Like, I just need some space. We hang out for an hour and a half every Sunday. It's like, you're stressing me out. And we become over familiar, and we become unchecked, and And we approach his throne not boldly as we're called to, but almost arrogantly. We become over-familiar with his grace, over-familiar with his love, over-familiar with his power and his perfect grace. And we treat us approaching God like it's an obligation, not that it is a privilege of the greatest type of relationship that we could have ever. So the thrust of this message series is not answering the question, is God a part of your life? But the thrust of this series is asking you the question, is God first in all of your life? In an earlier Matthew verse, he tells us about the peace that we can live him when we put God first. Matthew 6:31, Matthew's been getting a lot of love today. Matthew chapter 6:31, Jesus says, so do not worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, what are you even worried about? Right? Don't worry. So do not worry. You know what that's a great reminder to me about? Not a very popular thing I'm about to say, but worry is a choice. Jesus says, do not worry. Saying, what shall we eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you anyway. Let's talk about three quick thoughts about putting God first. Come on, this is going to be really practical. Is that all right? Really, really practical, really, really helpful. Hopefully, the stuff that you can put into practice. Number one, putting God first means first in practice. Putting God first means first in practice. Putting first things first. Putting first things first. We have some idea about this naturally, don't we? That, like, there's just some things that we do first thing. Isn't there? Like, before you left your house, right, hopefully you brushed your teeth. Turn neighbor and just blow your hot breath on them real quick. Give them one of these. I feel like your breath smells good if you go, whoo. Let's do a quick science experiment. No. So, like, we get it. We're like, okay, yeah, we should do that first. First things first, right? Before you even brush your teeth, though, I would love to submit to you, like, what's the very first thing that you do even before that? The first thing you do when you wake up. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? I know what you do because you probably do what I probably do. You turn over. Then you grab that phone. And if it's a day with enough margins, you stay scrolling about 30 minutes. Maybe it's social media, maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's the news, who knows? But then if you're someone here who's trying to put God first, you say to yourself, don't worry, God, like, I'm going to get some time. I need to get some time with the Lord. And then, you know, I'm going to hit it on the, I'm gonna give him that drive-by prayer. I'm going to hop in that car, do that drive-by prayer. You keep doing that drive-by prayer, don't be mad when you get them drive-by blessings. I knew you would like that. I'm not going to lie, I don't know if I even believe that, but it's just, I just like saying things like that. And we treat the God of the universe and our ability. Did you know that what Jesus did to afford us the ability to have a one-on-one relationship with the Great One? How he died to tear the veil that was a separator between us and all of heaven. Now we treat it with almost contempt, like there's so many better things I could be doing first. My daughter, she's a gem. My third daughter, my youngest currently for the next month. My oldest two never did this, but when we would be hanging out on the couch, we still do. Whenever we hang out, you know, she loves to, when we're chilling or maybe watching a movie, she sees me on my phone, she will bold face slap it out of my hand. She will just slap my phone out of my hand and just be like, Dad, get off your phone. And I'm not gonna lie, like, it's super annoying. But it's also, like, super cute. Like, I don't even reprimand her. I will, but give me, like, a couple years, you know what I mean? It's just so cute. It's just her way of trying to say, hey, I want your focus. I want your attention. And it's funny when my little five-year-old does it. But in our reality of relationship with God, like, that's us. Like, we say, God, hey, there's so many other things I could be doing. Putting God first has got to be put into practice. Like, first things first. Like, the reason why the church meets on Sunday is, according to the Gregorian calendar, it's the first day of the week. So we us as the church, we're gathering on the first day to give God our first fruits and say, God, we're putting you first. And our hope and our aim, hopefully, is like, I am trying to provoke you to good works of saying, what would it look like to start putting God first? For me, I want you to be very clear. I don't have this perfectly, all right? I'm not 100 with it. But on the days where I wake up and I affirm God's presence in my life, God's goodness in my life, when I wake up with just saying, God, thank you, when I wake up with thankfulness, when I wake up and I'm able to get in his word, maybe for just a couple passages, maybe it's just like the verse of the day, maybe it's just a proverb, but when I wake up and I'm able to affirm who he is, read something, when I go to my office and I start out in my devotional to kick off the day, it changes my day. That's the goodness of God, is that when I start with God first, I'm happier. Like, I see more clearly, I feel his presence, like, I hear him more clearly, I'm not on edge, I'm not frazzled, I'm kinder to my wife, I'm kinder to my kids, I'm kinder to my staff, I'm less stressed. Who could use with a little bit less stress in their life? Well, here's what's wild to me, is that when you think about this Matthew chapter 6 passage talking about Jesus saying, hey, seek first. It is within the context of being stressed. The whole passage is talking about, like, why are you stressed out about this? Why are you stressed out about that? Why are you worried about this? Don't you know God knows you have need of it? Put him first, and he will take care of all the things that you need. So there's a direct correlation between what we put first and our stress. Very simply put, the greatest cause of stress comes from putting the wrong things first. The greatest cause of stress comes from putting the wrong things first. I was about to say, you remember back in college, but I think for most of us, it didn't happen that long ago, right? How many people are still in university? Yes? Okay, can we be honest? Because I just want to get a lay of the land. How many of y'all are kind of the more night owlish kind of procrastinator types? Do we need to do a heads bowed, eyes closed, or are we going to be real? Like, yeah, we do. Okay. I'm not going to lie. That's I got a little bit of that. Okay, a little bit. And so I would find out there's a paper coming that is due, and I'd be like, oh, I got 2 weeks to write this paper. Who knows? I got 2 weeks. That's an eternity. 2 weeks. You know, when you're like 19, 2 weeks, that's like a percentage of your life. And then you realize it's like a couple days into that paper being due, and you're like, oh, shoot, a couple days? It ain't going to take me a couple days. Like, and then it's the day before that paper is due, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this paper is due. And you're like, all right, I'm pulling an all-nighter. I'm like, I didn't have five-hour energy when I was in college. I just had Red Bull. So I would just be pounding Red Bull. I'm pretty sure I have shaved off like 5 minutes of my life just from those Red Bull runs. Like, for real. What is in there? Who knows? They don't tell you. And the stress, it came from putting the wrong things first. For all you people who have just been self-identified, including yours truly, I'm going to share a couple of verses that really bother me. Psalm 5, verse 3 says that in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. That in the morning part bothers me. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, talking about Jesus, he says, very early in the morning, not just in the morning, very early in the morning. Y'all, how early? Okay, keep reading. While it was still dark. This church has never heard me read this passage before, ever. I've stayed away from these kinds of verses. Who here gets up while it's still dark? Like, Y'all are just bragging. Oh, my gosh. I asked that at Glen Allen, like 80% of the room raised their hand. I was like, okay, let me ask you tomorrow. While it was still dark, what did Jesus do? He got up. He left the house. And he went off to a solitary place while he prayed. Even Jesus understood the power of first things first. Even Jesus understood the power of first things first. And for most of us, it is impossible to live a fully devoted to God kind of life because we live a fully distracted from God kind of a life. So here's my quick challenge. I told you, this message is practical. What can you do this week to put God first in practice? What would it look like this week to put God first in practice over your week? You don't have to stick to it. You don't have to do it for like the whole CG semester. But what would it look like for you for, let's not even say 7. What if we just said the next 5? What if the next 5 days you put into practice, I'm going to put God first, the very first thing in my day? For some of you, listen, I don't want you to be overwhelmed. I just say, what if for some of you, the first thing you do, you wake up and you just say, thank you, Jesus. That's what I say, like, before I eat a meal, right? Because as a pastor, like, whenever you take someone to lunch, they always expect you to pray before your meal. But, like, when I eat by myself, I don't pray before my meal. So I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. You know, all right, let's eat. We won't get into the whole, you know, religiosity of that right now, but I will say that for most of the church tradition, Christians didn't pray before the meal. They prayed after the meal. But we'll let that slide. Maybe for you, in the next 5 days, to put God first might look like the very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to grab that Bible that I put on my table stand the night before, and I'm just going to read a little bit. I'm going to get up 10 minutes before normal, just so I can get 5 minutes in God's word. Maybe for you, you say the wake up, and the first thing that you say, your first words are simply just praying in the spirit, just praying to God. Maybe for you, it's putting God first over the next 5 days says that I'm going to listen to worship music on the way to class or on the way to work instead of that murder podcast I've been in the middle of. No wonder y'all freaking out. Y'all are listening to Murder Files. What does it look like for you over the next 5 days to put God first? I told you this is practical. Would you come on this journey with me? Next 5 days. First things first. Let's put God first in practice. Amen? Okay. Second thought I have. Putting God first means first in priority. First point was putting God first means first in practice. Second point means putting God first in priority. Because putting God first is not just about first in order or practice. It's about first in priority. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. So though it includes, yeah, first thing you do, seek is first. But also to seek first his kingdom also means that it is first in priority. It is your first pursuit above any other pursuit. Putting God first means seeking first in priority. Seek first the things of God, the kingdom of God. And we make this really, really complicated. I get it because most of us, a lot of us are like, hey, just make it simple. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what's right. Tell me what's wrong. Give me a checkbox. Let me tick that thing. Let's keep it going. Just tell me. And we say, all right, well, how do I prioritize my life? How do I prioritize the things of God? Well, easy. We say things like, oh, well, God's up here for sure. And then, like, there's this thing. And then this thing's probably below that. And then, you know, my Magic the Gathering collection's probably way down here. And so, like, it's, like, probably above here. And then, like, my soccer tournament, right? And then, like, you know, my thing, my hobbies, blah, blah, blah. And, like, my relationships are probably a little bit higher, and we say these things, and we say this, and it's up here, and this belongs here, and that's in priority. That's how we say. I say, put God first. I just say, put God first. well, what about this? And give me the order and give me the priority. I need to prioritize God. Yeah, I just say, hey, put God first. What does that mean? Just put God first in every area of your life. We make this super complicated. We say, well, listen, God is not out for you to put everything on a sliding scale of priority and have you compare every other thing and weigh every other thing. God is simply saying this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In every area of your life, seek first God. And so whatever area that you have in your life, God is wanting this, for you to seek God first in that area. Well, what about my marriage? Yeah, let God be first in your marriage. You should be devoted to your spouse, but God demands he be first. Married people, God demands to be first. Okay, now the beauty of this is a husband and a wife who aim to draw closer to God as they put him first. The beauty of God's goodness is that as a husband and a wife draw closer to God and put him first, God ends up bringing them closer together. I call it the Holy Triangle. God is good like that. So in your marriage, what does it look like? Just put God first. Pray over your spouse. Think the best of your spouse. Read the word of God over your spouse, both husbands and both wives. Well, what about family? Yeah, put God first in your family. Amen. In our house, we have aimed to embody that Joshua verse that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we put God first in our family. Our kids are church kids. Our kids are like grow up in the pews kind of kids. They're at our other location this week, but even before service, we were up, we were in a room hanging out, getting ready, and it was time, it was like 5 minutes. We got to go down there. We got to, get this service going. And then one of my daughters was like, Dad, I'm still eating. I'm like, that's awesome. We're not on your timeline. This is God's day in God's house. We're on God's timeline. So you can either leave it or pack it up. I don't care, but we're going to go. We're going to pray now, and we're going to go. I've taught my kids, hey, you know what? The greatest gift I could leave my children, the greatest principle, the greatest aim, the greatest driver for my kids would be that they would love God more than anyone or anything else. I have it as an aim as a father that my children would love the Lord even more than they love me, that they would hear from God as the biggest and the loudest voice in their life. What does it look like to put God first? What goes first? How do I prioritize? Put God first. What about my career? What about my studies? What about my prosperity? What about my job? Put God first. Amen. I was talking to this guy who's in this location. He may be on the front row over here. Who knows? And we ride to church oftentimes, and we've been talking about what's God doing in your life. And he said, man, there's just a few people in my workplace that, like, we've been having these great conversations, and, like, they've been open and receptive to me talking about, like, church and God. And at first, it wasn't really going anywhere, but then Easter came up, and they heard that I was going. And I was like, yeah, you should try it. And then, like, so one of the girls ended up coming to Easter services. And they went back to work, and they started talking about it. And like, wow, it's like, what is that? And why do y'all do this? And blah, blah, blah. And then she came back the next week. And apparently she's here today. I won't identify who she is because I don't know. Turn to your neighbor and say, is it you? And I was talking to him, and he's so lit up. He's so lit up. He's just saying, like, this is what we've been praying for. This is what we've been talking about. This is, like my purpose being fulfilled and what I put my hands to. I love this verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, put your whole heart and soul into it. Listen to me. Not working for man, but working for God. Like, gosh, well, how am I supposed to put God first? I have this job and I have these responsibilities. Yes, put God first in your job. Put God first in your responsibilities. Like, here's the thing, is that Jesus is not asking us to put levels to it in any other area of our life. He's just saying, seek God first. Well, what about in my health? I got to prioritize my health and my wellness and my well-being. Yeah, put God first. Jesus showed us, come on, the chief ill of our era. Anxiety, depression, frazzledness, scrambled. with a side of bacon. Overwhelmed. Jesus spoke about these issues. It was not a foreign topic to Jesus. And he says that, he basically shows us that these feelings come when we let our focus become anything besides putting God first. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you know what righteousness is? Do you know what righteousness is? It's very simple. It means your rightness with God. Righteousness is having rightness with God. And in the original language of your Bible that it was written in this New Testament, Jesus is saying in righteousness, it's a word picture where we get the word integrity. And so righteousness comes with this entire word picture of oneness, of structural integrity of your soul. And Jesus is talking about righteousness that we seek at first. Why? He's actually wanting the best for you. He does not want you to be worried. He does not want you to be frazzled. He does not want you to be full of anxiety and depression. That's not the will of God for your life. And Jesus is here in your Bible. There is nothing new under the sun. And he says, listen to me, if you would just seek God first, all these other things will be taken care of for you. I wonder how much oneness is in your soul. How much oneness do you have in your soul right here, right now? Because when you put God first, oh my gosh, He brings into alignment the things that are disjointed. He repairs the things that have been broken down. He heals the very wounds from the inside out. I want to ask you, when's the last time you've asked or invited the Lord to speak into your soul? I love what the psalmist David says in Psalm 139. He says, search me, O God. Know my heart. When's the last time you invited the Lord into your into a search project, into a search mission, into your heart? Because I don't know if you know this, God knows everything about you already. We talked about that at the beginning. And yet, the Lord still encourages us when we put into practice to say, God, I know you already know, but come into my heart. Search me. He goes on to say, try me. I wonder, like, how he said that. Like, because whenever I say try me, it comes with a little bit, hey, yo, try me, what's up? Try me then. I'm not out here on the street saying that. It's how I speak to my children. Try me then, let's go. I ain't scared. I've been knocked out, what's up? I have, though. I don't recommend it. He says, try me and know my anxieties. The psalmist invites the Lord to say, hey, I don't want you to be a stranger to what's happening on the inside of me. And he says, see if there's any wicked way in me. Ooh, this is next level, though. I don't know if you're ready for this one. You might want to figure out how to do the other stuff first, because this next part's kind of for the spiritually mature people. And then he says, God, come on in, know my anxieties. And then also, see if there's any wickedness thing in me. The God who already knows every wicked thing about you, man, there's so much power, there's so much freedom, there is so much a release, there is so much a restoration and a repair when we are the people of God who say, Lord, see if there's any wicked thing in me. Search out, reveal it to me, God, because I don't even want to harbor it anymore. And the right thing is said at the end. He says, after he did all that, he said, but Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. What would it look like for you this week? As you aim to put God first over the next 5 days, what would it look like to also to say, Lord, search my heart, search my soul. Know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked thing in me, and Lord, lead me into the way everlasting. Number one, putting God first means putting first into practice, first things first. Number two, putting God first means first in priority. Number three, putting God first includes God's people. Putting God first includes God's people. There it is. Praise the Lord. I'll bring you back to Matthew chapter 6 again. Remember this? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, this is the first, verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. But then right after that, what does he say? A second is equally important. Oh, shoot. There's an equally first thing first. And he says, love your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, really. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. I'm not going to make you say anything weird. Just turn and say, neighbor. I freaking love you. Go ahead, just say that part. Say, I freaking love you. I'm just trying to say, like, if you come to church, be thinking about who you're sitting next to next week. You know what I'm saying? Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Putting God first includes God's people. That actually God's people are there for you to help empower and enable you to put God first. If you want to put God first, it actually means that you want to make God happy. How many people are in a relationship right now? Come on, a part of making, putting somebody first means you want to make them happy. Amen? So you do stuff to just be like, if it makes you happy. Yo, why didn't y'all let me come to that karaoke night? I would have brought some. You would have been hearing a lot of Aladdin if I came. Praise the Lord. What's the next social happening? What's the next social? We have something on the books? Ooh, trivia night? Social 52, April 27th. It's a Saturday. It's a brunch. Have y'all talked about this yet? Well, hey, they were waiting for me to break it wide open. Trivia night! All Bible trivia, don't worry. I don't know what kind of trivia it is. I'm just kidding. That would be funny, though, but also probably embarrassing, so no. Can you imagine? Oh, who's running out Social 52? Oh, yeah, Wave Church. They're doing, like, Bible trivia, and it's just the quietest day ever. You know, like, it'd be so embarrassing. It's like, wow, these people don't know anything about the Bible. Putting God first means our first aim is making God happy. That's where I was going. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul wrote this, and he says, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? You know you're somebody who's putting God first when that's true of your heart. It's becoming more tender, more compassionate, okay? He says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Whew, Lord, give us a people who agree with each other. Loving one another. Lord, help us be a church of people who love one another. And work together with one mind and with one purpose. Lord, help us be a church who work together. Verse 3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Sit down. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Thinking of others as better than yourself. You know you are getting closer to God when you don't walk around thinking you're the smartest person in the room. You know you're drawing closer to God when you don't think you're better than everybody else. Putting God first is a humbling experience. And that's one of the reasons why relationships are so important in the Bible, in the church. It says that the gathering of God's people, it's like iron sharpening iron. A lot of y'all have an iron deficiency. Because when God's people gather, it is one of the ways that helps us put him first. It humbles. Let me give you a list of things. This is the reason why we have community groups, by the way. Because it is a part of the facet and the fulfillment of putting God first. God has called us to gather and to grow together. So in the New Testament, there are over 50 commands. Because if we want to put God first, we want to make him happy, we want to be obedient to his word, and God uses people to help us be obedient, which is why there are over 50 such commands in the New Testament that help us put God first, but they require people. They require other brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I share just a laundry list of them? I'm going to fly by really quick. Is that cool? Here we go. Love one another, John chapter 13. That's, as I have loved you, you must love one another. Guess what? You can't love one another by yourself. I'm just being honest. How about this one? Forgive each other. Like, you know you're being obedient to God's call and purposes and will for your life when you're someone who forgives one another. Colossians 3:13 talks about forgiving each other. If you're here with your spouse, turn to them and just say, will you forgive me? Just say, will you forgive me? If you're here with your spouse, say, will you forgive me? Now, go ahead and answer that. Go ahead and answer that request. Will you forgive? This is the one. Look, you get a free get out of jail, free card. Pastor said, the Bible says you got to forgive me, so go ahead. Philippians 2, I just read it. Regard each other more highly than yourselves. Can't do that by yourself. Teach and correct each other. Guess what? If you're a part of God's church, God's family, there's going to be times where you get taught. And there's going to be times where you get corrected. Now, if you never want to get taught and you never want to get corrected, don't be a part of church. Hebrews 10:25, how about this? Encourage each other. Encourage each other. Can't do that by yourself, can you? To fulfill what God, to put God first and be obedient to all that he's called us, it requires each other. We need to encourage each other. Amen? Because I tell you what, you're not getting encouraged out there. That's the world ain't trying to encourage you. That's what the people of faith should be doing with each other. Not just like nice sweater. Oh, yo, I like the fit. Like, no. Encourage. I always like to think about it as putting courage in. And that's what the brothers and sisters in Christ are supposed to do. When we are failing, when we are fearful, when we are frightful, it is the people of faith who say, hey, God of all heaven and earth is on the inside of you. The Spirit of God lives on you. This challenge, this bad report, this doctor health thing, this thing that you got from school, this loss of a job, your inability to find a house, the troubles that you have financially, the things that don't seem like they're breaking through, guess what? God is using this test as a testimony. God's best is in store for you. The best is yet to come. We need to encourage one another. Amen? Pray for each other, James 5:16. Confess your sins. Come on, turn to your neighbor. I want you to think about your deepest, darkest sin. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Bear each other's burdens, Galatians 6. Serve one another. Hello. We have dozens and dozens of people every week that come here super early. What? Just to serve you. Because that makes God happy. Honor one another. When's the last time you honored somebody? That's treat them better than they deserve. We treat people how we think they should be treated. But to honor someone means to treat them better than they deserve. You know you're starting to put God first when you see the fruit of this. Care for one another and submit to one another. I'm going to close with this quote. The band can come on up. Theologian Francis Schaeffer once said this. He says, our relationship with each other is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. And so for us, there is no real gap of difference between wanting to be somebody who genuinely seeks to put God first in every area of our life and to not be a people who do life together. Who would be a people to say, my life isn't just for me anymore. My life, as modeled by my Lord, is one that is lent out, is one that is to serve, is one that is for others. And when we would be a radical group of people who embody that, you know what it does? It's not just so we can feel good about ourselves. It's an apologetic and a witness to the world. What the heck? These freaking people, like, they're crazy. They're always doing stuff for other people. They're always forgiving each other. Like I saw somebody wrong them, and like, how could they? like they love each other, like they call each other, like they bring food to each other, like they pray for each other, they show up for each other, they carry each other's burdens. Like, what is going on? I need that. I want that. What is that? It's a people who have been compelled by the goodness of our God to put God first. If you receive the word this morning, can we give him some praise? Come on.